Welcome to Talking Supply Chain. In each episode, you'll hear from the authors that make Supply Chain Management Review such a special publication. This podcast is hosted by Bob Troublecock, Editorial Director of Supply Chain Management Review. Remember that Bob welcomes your comments now to today's episode. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Talking Supply Chain, Planning for the Supply Chain of the Future. I'm Bob Troublecock, and joining me today is Marisa Brown. Marisa is the Senior Principal Research Lead for Supply Chain Management at APQC. She's also the author of the benchmarks column in every issue of SCMR. Let's be honest. For most of us, the world turned upside down back in March. The impact was sudden and extreme. But in another sense, the pandemic may just have accelerated the timetable to the future of supply chain management that was inevitable. With that in mind, what will it take for organizations to survive and thrive in the coming years? That was the topic of Marisa's most recent column in SCMR, and what we're going to talk about today. So Marisa, welcome. Let's start at a high level. Historically, supply chains have been focused on cost and market share. Should that change? And if so, how will it shift going forward?
Thanks, Bob. And thank you for having me here. That is an excellent question about the future of supply chain. The COVID-19 pandemic and the resulting global disruption have really shown that the way organizations think about supply chain has fundamentally shifted and will continue to evolve. To be the supply chain of the future and meet the ever-changing needs created by the new business climate, organizations must embody adaptability, flexibility, and effectiveness, as well as efficiency. It's no longer enough to be focused on the lowest cost as the primary method of ensuring your organization and supply chain survival. It's important that organizations position their supply chains to anticipate and navigate unexpected storms while also improving for the future. There will still need to be this necessary keeping an eye on core fundamentals, like cycle times for key processes, the number of hours being spent on critical tasks, and of course, cost. However, looking forward, supply chain management will involve much more than what has worked in the past. Organizations must actively assess risk, align their planning efforts with organizational strategy, develop decision-making maturity, and keep an eye on emerging technologies that are evolving and can help improve supply chain results.
Thanks. And I'm glad you brought up those other topics because we're going to explore each of those as we go forward here. Let me ask you one question that you and I didn't talk about, but that shift away from cost, and I realize that cost is still going to be part of the game, but do you have a sense from your research what's caused that shift? Because I think it started even before COVID.
Well, you know, before COVID, a lot of organizations were dealing with tariff and global trade conditions that were changing. And so they were already starting to look at alternative sites, alternative sourcing, alternative countries in some cases. And that meant for some of them not looking just straight at the lowest cost where they could get the cheapest materials and suppliers. So I think that some of that geopolitical change was driving some of that, as well as the recognition that there is a need for flexibility so that a supply chain can bend and not break. Because while COVID-19 is our current disruption and current cause of much of the supply chain challenges we're having, it's only the current one, right? There are hurricanes, tsunamis, all kinds of things that cause supply chains to be disrupted. So I think wise leaders have been looking at making some of that shift already. I don't think it's new. I think what we're seeing is that organizations were already starting to look at moving to ERP systems that had, you know, that were based in the cloud that allowed them greater access. We saw people looking at a lot of these new technologies already, but what this global pandemic did was it put all of us sort of in the same boat that we've got to really do things differently. So I think what we're seeing from the organizations that APQC speaks with and our members, it accelerated trends that were already underway.
Great, thank you. Now, let's go to those bullets that you talked about. One of the things I'd thought about is that probably after this, after the pandemic hit, everybody brought out their risk management playbook and dusted it off. At the same time, I'm guessing nobody had, what the heck do we do if a pandemic shuts down the global economy? You know, that chapter probably wasn't in the book. I think it's going to be in the book going forward. Right? But you mentioned risk management as one of your first bullets. So why is risk management going to be so important as part of planning going forward?
Yeah. People joke about the 2020 bingo game. It's like, who put this on the list? But there's so many things that are happening right now facing our supply chains that leading organizations are really reconsidering how they decide on their supply chain strategies. Traditional wisdom, as we've mentioned, really says focus on efficiency and control costs. But to get to a stable place and to guard against unanticipated events, maybe not as dramatic as a global pandemic, but still, organizations must balance the need for controlling costs with the need to mitigate risk. And the disruption with COVID-19 really showed the vulnerability of organizations that went to be so lean that, especially from an inventory perspective, when we had a shift from people eating at restaurants and being in offices to being at home, some of them really were unable from an inventory perspective to adjust quickly. So increasingly, as I've been talking to supply chain leaders, many of them are parking, if you will, additional inventory at critical spots throughout their supply chains, adding some fat or at least some meat on the bone to their previously very lean supply chain. And in more cases, this is becoming their business as usual mindset versus just a temporary shift. And I think that's where we're seeing people are starting to plan with risk in mind. I mean, anyone who had to dust off their risk plans was not keeping an eye on things as they evolve. And that's really important because keeping risk in mind helps organizations quickly adapt to unanticipated shifts in demand and then position themselves to thrive as things start to stabilize, if you will. And as I said, this is only our current pandemic, and we all know that there will be more. This is only our current disruption. There's going to be other things. So it's important that supply chain planning decisions consider the full range of possible risks to the business. And this really includes, you need to consider impact as well as probability. There are high probability, low impact events that organizations face all the time in supply chain. And then there's things that are low probability and disastrous, like this current pandemic. But one of the things that organizations are doing to make sure that they're ready for the future is building scenarios, a plan B, plan C, sometimes plan D. And then the leading organizations are testing out these scenarios, doing kind of war games, if you will, and trying to break their scenario plans and then refining them so that they have something that's ready to roll and can become more muscle memory when the next disruption hits. And the other thing is to compile risk profiles of key business partners to provide a complete picture of the impact of an event. And because supply chain is a chain, right, and each organization is a link in that chain, even if your own organization is going to be okay during a disruption, how about your key suppliers? Because ultimately, an organization's success is tightly linked to its key suppliers' success. And we saw that played out very painfully in many cases during the current COVID pandemic. But because of that, organizations that invest wisely in their supplier relationship management are putting themselves ahead of the game. Supplier relationships can't just be a checkbox on a to-do list. It needs to be something that's focused on. And I will just say, on a very worrisome note, research I've been doing here at APQC, we have found that 1/3 of organizations do not use an electronic system that provides risk profiles and alerts for changes and disruptions related to suppliers, materials, supplier manufacturing sites, categories, or even their products. And systems like that, and APQC does not endorse any one system over another, but having that in place gives a robust picture of threats to the business and helps organizations assess impact in pretty much near real time. And not having these systems for risk profiles of all the key elements can leave an organization vulnerable and then slower to react to unforeseen disruptions. And in a competitive market, and in a competitive world like supply chain, the reality is that speed matters. Sometimes the last one loses. And, you know, if speed's going to determine winners or losers, who gets that last spot on the last ship out of the port before it gets shut down, that can make all the difference to success or failure.
I want to talk about alignment next. And I want to give you, you know, an example of misalignment. It's different from what you're talking about. And I will come back to that in a moment. But I've had a couple of conversations about how things got out of alignment in terms of supply and demand. A friend of mine owns a company that's a large, one of the largest U.S. manufacturers of stuffed animals. So they design their product, you know, domestically, but it's all manufactured in China. And that's, they're a wholesaler. So they're selling to, you know, major retailers. And he was telling me that in, you know, January, February, first part of March, before our economy shut down, he couldn't get shipments of materials that he had orders for, you know, for, of product that he had orders for. So he was like begging, you know, for product. And then our economy shut down about the same time as the Asian economy started back up. So you can imagine what happened. He started getting, you know, 2, 3, and 4 containers a week delivered to his warehouse, and none of his customers were taking deliveries. So he just had containers, you know, sort of stacking up. So he had this misalignment. And I was talking to a supply chain leader at Under Armour the other day who told me something similar had happened to them, which is that, you know, not only did their own retail stores shut down and they couldn't ship product to their own stores, but their wholesale customers weren't taking deliveries either. And so they went through this, you know, situation where they were getting all kinds of product, but, you know, because they'd ordered it 6 months earlier.
Right.
But they had nowhere to sell it. And I know you were talking about alignment a little bit differently. So, you know, one of the things I read about in Modern Materials Handling, the other magazine I edited, is about warehouses and distribution centers. And historically, you know, they were a place to store stuff. And what I started noticing 4 or 5 years ago is that they had become an enabler of an organization's go-to-market strategy. So the processes people were developing in the warehouse were designed around, you know, the kind of promotions or promises the sales and marketing team was making to consumers. We sense that something similar is going on in supply chain. It's not about just getting stuff out the door, but, you know, enabling a business strategy. So as you're looking at the future of supply chain, how important is that alignment with business strategy going to be? Sorry for the long question.
No, that's a great point. And I think that for supply chains to stay successful, they really need that flexibility to adjust based on organizational strategy. And it's not only to be able, you know, when we talked about risk management, we talked a lot about these outside disruptions, whether geopolitical events, what have you, but sometimes change comes from within the own, it's your own organization, a change in organizational strategy. So it's so important that supply chains are in sync and aligned to the overall business direction of their, of the company. And one of the things that we see is that all partners within the supply chain really need to understand what the organization's strategic priorities are. And one way to make that happen is for planners to establish communication channels to convey these strategic shifts. And it can be, as you said, what sales and marketing promotions are hot at the moment, new products, a change in business model, moving maybe to a service, you know, as a service versus a product provider, new partnerships, any disruptions that can happen from organizational intentions are critical. And what I'm seeing is that organizations really vary in the extent to which their supply chains are capable of supporting not just the existing, but also future business models. And for about 20% of organizations, this capacity is limited. We asked more than 550 organizations to rate themselves regarding the extent to which their supply chain is capable of supporting both existing and future business models. And what we see is that almost 80% said that they can, to a significant or very great extent, support this shift, which is great. But one in five said not so much. And the question really is, well, why does this matter? And the results really indicate that given the importance of strategic alignment for supply chain, there is a significant change and improvement for those organizations that are successful in having this kind of a flexible ability and this alignment with the enterprise. We see that those that do it have lower supply chain planning costs, shorter customer order cycle times, and faster cash to cash cycle times, all of which are very powerful motivators for increasing strategic alignment. And in addition to these strengths, organizations with strategic alignment can also quickly pivot when they need to respond to changes in the market, because again, that speed matters in many cases. So I think that's partly what we're seeing, is that there is a benefit to having this strategic alignment in terms of cycle time and cost, but also the ability to react quickly and continue to thrive.
You mentioned, so one other bullet, we have two more to go. You talked first about decision-making maturity. Now, you wrote about this in the article too. Let's start with, what is decision-making maturity, and then how does an organization develop it?
Sure. So at their most basic, decisions are really how our organizations move forward, right? We have to decide and then take action on that. And for supply chains to be very future ready, I mentioned that they need to have mature decision-making processes. And what that means is that they have to be able to make decisions based on data. And today, supply chains are just faced with an overwhelming amount of data from our own internal sources and also externally, data that comes from everything, including social media sentiments. And we as people just cannot wrap our brains around this quantity of data fast enough to make valuable decisions in the time frame we usually need, which is usually very fast. So this is where analytics can provide valuable information that we as people need to make better decisions. So for supply chain, analytics can provide valuable insight for things like forecasting logistics or optimizing inventory, as well as scenario planning that I mentioned earlier. And all of these capabilities enable organizations to increase the effectiveness of their supply chain planning. And actually, APQC research finds that supply chain managers who rely more on data versus just their own gut instinct, if you will, are three times more likely to report significant improvements in decision-making compared with those who make decisions based on just intuition. And the reason that you want to develop this as your organization digitizes your transactions across your supply chain is that that digitalization of the supply chain gives decision makers and planners complete visibility into the end-to-end supply chain and how it's performing. And this becomes so important as we're in this kind of work from anywhere or work from home dispersed environment right now. So having all that data kind of brought together and the machine, if you will, doing the grunt work, freeing up individuals to use their higher order thinking abilities to make the decisions based on that analyzed data is where organizations are wanting to go. Now, the good news that we see is that 73% of 561 organizations that we surveyed report that they do use some kind of advanced analytics and predictive algorithms to support their decision making. But 25% are still using an analysis of past actions and consequences to support their decisions. And then there's 3% that actually just look at anecdotes or instinct. And we can't use a sample size of one or two or three that we can remember to make decisions in our current global, fast-moving, complex supply chains. And where the future opportunity exists is that 0% of organizations reported that they make decisions based on next generation systems with machine learning built in. So there's a lot of opportunity here, because at the end of the day, you can't steer your car driving down the road looking only in the rearview mirror. So the future is not the same as the past, and we need to be able to prepare our organizations for the unknown and make decisions using advanced analytics. And the good news is those that do recognize benefits like faster cash-to-cash cycle time compared to their counterparts. So it's really critical that organizations move into a data-driven approach so that they can look at change and make decisions based on things that aren't necessarily expressed in historical patterns, right? The world has changed and will probably continue to change, as far as we all know, and that's where they need to go.
Thank you. Now, you just talked about several emerging technologies with machine learning and data analytics and artificial intelligence, and we're hearing so much about those today. How should supply chain planners approach these new tools?
Yeah, another very good question. And what I find in the research that I do here at APQC is that leading organizations keep an eye on emerging technologies because they want to continue to ensure efficiency, which is doing things right, and effectiveness, which is doing the right things in their planning. And I do an annual survey of priorities. And for this year, for 2020, almost all the trends that organizations expect will impact supply chains in the next 3 years involve technology or technology enabling activities. And overall, most organizations are focused on digitization of the supply chain, followed by, as you said, I've already mentioned a few, but analytics, cloud capabilities, process standardization, artificial intelligence and cognitive computing, mobile technology, robotic process automation, and blockchain. With so many technologies being considered and so much out there, supply chain planners need to ensure that they have a systematic approach to leverage very practical tools while they continue to track the trends and the technologies. And I just want to point out, it's really important to get past the, quote, hype and headlines, if you will, about technology. And we don't want to see organizations implementing new emerging technologies just for the sake of keeping up with everyone else and implementing the technologies. The key is to make sure that you're implementing a technology based on your organization's business needs. You need to have a thorough understanding of your current processes, performance, and organizational capacity. And then don't implement if you haven't articulated a business case for the technology, because you want to be able to show the value after that you've achieved. And one proof point, back to mentioning predictive analytics, is that we see that organizations that have adopted it to a significant or very great extent outperform others on cash-to-cash cycle time by 8 days. But also, these organizations have been able to lower their supply chain management costs as a percentage of revenue by almost a full percent. So I think it's important to consider, when you're talking about emerging technologies, why are you turning to them, right? So there's three things. Is it for efficiency? Will the technology help you generate cost savings or increase your throughput or improve your results? Or is it for experience? Technology that improves the end customer experience? Because as we all know, people want that seamless omni-channel experience in today's world. They expect it. Or is it about expansion? Is your technology focused on identifying or enabling new products or new services that will help the company expand and bring in new business? So at the end of the day, when you come to select technology, consider three things. Feasibility. Can we hire someone who can build it? Some things are still too early stage. You know, a lot of people are pushing back on blockchain, for example, because if everyone else isn't using it, then who are you connecting to? Usability. Will people actually use it across your supply chain? And viability, is there a business case behind it? And then keeping in mind that technology changes. So what may make sense today probably didn't last year. And goodness knows 2021 and beyond will probably have a lot of change from 2020. So it's important supply chain planners keep an eye on the evolving technologies to do what's best in the end for their own organizations.
Thank you. That was great. And it's a great article. If you go to scmr.com look for Marisa's benchmarks column. There's a lot more information in there related to what we talked about today. That's all the time we have. Marisa, thanks so much for joining us. I want to thank the listeners for joining us, and I hope you'll be back for our next episode for Supply Chain Management Review. I'm Bob Troublecock. Talking Supply Chain is produced by Supply Chain Management Review and Peerless Media. You can find it on scmr.com, on iTunes, or under SC247, or just Google SC247 podcasts. For more information, be sure to visit scmr.com. We hope you'll join us again.